Blog Talk Radio.
Hello learners, hello teachers. Let's talk about how to best help us grow. Welcome to the Michaela Hicks Show.
Welcome back to episode 3 of the Michaela Hicks Show, hosted by yours truly, Michaela Hicks. I've got a special guest here, and I'd like to thank her for her patience and her willingness to arrive to school bright and early on this Friday morning at 7:15. She was on standby last show, but this episode is all hers. She helped keep aftercare together, and I sometimes confuse her with students. It's Miss Robe. How are you this morning, Miss Robe?
I'm solid. How are you?
I'm good. Also, before we begin, I need to clear the air for all my students who are listening to this podcast for extra credit. No, Ms. Robe and I are not sisters.
Oh, my God.
We're not.
That's more reasonable, though, than them thinking me and Palazzetti were sisters last year. But no, every day at least.
All right. So now that we got that out of the way, you are my fellow second-year teacher. So how are you doing this second year?
I feel like it's easier to get a hang of things. I feel like I'm not like, last year I was here every day before 6:30, and that has not happened that much this year. So I feel like I've got a better balance.
Good. Yeah. Good for you. I'm still arriving before 6:30. But I do agree. I feel like it's easier to know what you need to do versus the to-do list that can kind of be on the back burner,
because right,
there's
right.
always going to
yeah.
be that list of things
yeah, yeah. to do. Yeah, there's always something to do, but it's whether or not I have to do it that is really kind of what I'm being intentional about. Do I have to do it? Not, probably not going to.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, I agree with that. And I also feel like everyone has said that the first year of teaching was the hardest, which it definitely had its moments, but I feel like every year will be difficult for some reason that changes.
I agree. This year is definitely not as, like, mentally and, like, emotionally draining, but it's physically draining, and I'm just like, there's different challenges for
mm-hmm.
sure every year.
Yeah. So tell me about your student teaching experience.
I taught at Well Station, which is also an ESL school. I was underneath Mrs. Wright, who is one of the best people I've ever met in my whole life. She's the sweetest person. She's very Southern. And it was during online.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I got off a little easy because I basically just kind of sat there and didn't really do much when I wasn't teaching,
mm-hmm.
But my kids were super, super fun. It was third grade, and it was third grade reading and math, so it was a, what's that called? Whatever, all of them,
mm-hmm.
Self-contained, that's what it is,
mm-hmm.
And it was great. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed the people there. I almost ended up working at that school,
what?
But I had accepted a job here, like, the day before. They had been like, oh, we have an opening, and I was like, oh, cool. But it was really fun. I learned a lot, although definitely did not learn near as much as I did in my first year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I got a lot more insight into the classroom, but also, again, it was online, so there was, like, a lot that I didn't know.
Right. I also had the same experience. My school that I was at was a STEM school, so that was really cool to learn more about and really focus on the science and math part of education. But my classroom also had third, fourth, and fifth graders in the same room. And so they
Wow.
started with the teacher in their third grade year. They stayed with her for fourth and fifth,
Wow.
and then they went to the middle school side of the school. So that was also really interesting because we would do, like, science with just the third graders, and then fourth and fifth would be doing, like, science stations, and then we would do science
yeah.
with the fourth grade. So, yeah, that was really cool. But also, same thing, it was during COVID, so we had in-person and online. So
yeah.
I had 8 students in the classroom, like, Mondays and Wednesdays, and then everyone else was online, and then the other days, other kids would come in.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of balls to juggle, but at
For
the same
sure.
time, I feel like I had a lot of time in between,
yeah.
And they also had a shortened day because of COVID. I don't know. COVID left the building at 1:30. So our day was pretty short. So that was definitely an adjustment.
I definitely miss that about student teaching, being able to be like, whatever teacher would be like, okay, 2:30, like, they only have dismissal coming up, like, you can go. And I would just be like, see ya.
Right. Yes. Would you ever take a student teacher in the future?
Not anytime soon. I actually was thinking about it yesterday. I was thinking about, because we got a city year person, and I was thinking about, like, how would I be with a student teacher? And I've discovered that at this point in time, it's probably not the best move because, like, everything that I figure out, like, a week later, I'm like, nah, that wasn't right. So
yeah.
I think at some point when I'm, like, 50 and I'm still teaching, by that point I've had, like, 30 years of experience, then you can give me a teacher. But
yeah, definitely.
I'm still trying to teach myself.
Definitely, same. I would feel a lot of pressure to try and teach them the right thing or have all of the answers.
Yes,
but
yes.
At this point, I don't think I have them.
I don't have any answers at this point. Going as I go.
Right. So something that I had thought about was how my undergrad and student teaching experience did or did not really prepare me for the classroom. So my undergrad program, pretty much all of our experience was with small groups and only a handful of students, which is easy to get them excited and motivated and manage behavior. And then student teaching also, I had eight kids in person. So really last year was my first whole class.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if you had any similar experiences with a lot of small group and like methods, courses and things like that.
My undergrad experience was entirely Rhodes has a theory-based education program. So for the first, like, 2.5 years, I basically just learned about educational theorists and, like, their theories on how you get students to learn. And that's all well and good, but all of their theories only work in a perfect world scenario. So we did a lot of how to be culturally responsive and how to teach students from different backgrounds and not a lot of how do you set up an effective lesson plan and how do you effectively classroom manage. Like, we didn't have any of that. They kind of pushed that all to the side until we got student teaching.
Wow.
And then when we got student teaching, it was a matter of, well, how are you, first time ever, teaching these students? And then it was kind of, we had observations based off of that.
Interesting.
And that was definitely a complaint that I had when they like talked with us, because our education program was like itty-bitty. There were like 40 students in it. So they would talk to us and I was like, I mean, I learned a lot and I have a lot of knowledge, and if I ever have the perfect class, I'm definitely going to put that into practice. But I didn't learn anything that would have helped me specifically teach a group of students.
Yeah.
Which was rough.
Right. I could only imagine. We got in and was like observing teachers our freshman and sophomore year, and then some of the sophomore classes were with like tutoring one-on-one with students and things like that. But that was one of the reasons why I chose Aurora University back in Chicago, because we had that experience first and second year, which was really beneficial and something that they made sure they projected to other people to get students to want to come.
We had to get like something like 80 hours in a classroom our junior and senior year, but I cut my senior year short and did, because like the way that the program is set up is that you student teach after you graduate, which like was not, I couldn't do it because, you know, you're student teaching, you're not really making any money, like I couldn't do it. So I finished all of my courses by winter of my senior year and then student taught my last part. But so we had to be in the classroom, but it was more based around like, how are these teachers effectively using these practices? And the matter of it is like, you're not, you know, you're trying to teach students how to write sentences. So there's something to be said for theory, but then there's also something to be said for not theory.
Right, and whatever that other side would be called. All right, it is time for our commercial. Please hold for a message from our sponsor.
Hot dog, Armor hot dog. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dog?
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Soft kids, fizzy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dog.
Armor hot dog.
The dog kids love to bite.
Picking it up on the old banjo, put on the mustard and away we go.
Teachers, let's talk about how to best help us grow. Welcome to the Michaela Hicks Show.
All right, thank you for that sponsor, I guess. Let's transition into intervention. So what skills are your fourth grade kiddos working on?
So we, Ms. Greer and I, split it because the tier three students that we have are very much, can you read this word? What does this digraph sound like? I have all the tier three students, and they are working on reading words and sounding out letters. And why does GH make an F sound?
Mm.
I don't know why, but it does. So
second time she's brought that up this week, folks. She is really stuck on that letter combination.
It's so annoying. Because then when it's in the middle of the word, it doesn't make an F sound. I mean, the English language doesn't make any F. That's the problem. So, but that's what we're working on. A lot of reading, a lot of games that helps with, like, fluency.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I'll need you to share with me some of those games, because my groups that are doing reading fluency, they're getting bored with what I'm doing. So I'll definitely connect and get some more ideas.
Every single day.
Cool. That's good to get them excited. I think that's what we need.
And candy. Right.
Candy. Yep. I've got my water bottle stickers over here that they are obsessed with. So that's what they get on Fridays if they beat their scores. So we only have about 2 more minutes left in our show, and before we go, Ms. Rob and I have got to have a fun little game for you all, for all our hundreds of listeners out there. Ms. Rob is going to share 2 truths and 1 lie, but she's not going to tell you the correct answer. If you want my prize, you got to email me your answer on which you think is the lie. My email is mhix@auroracollegiate.org. Go for it, Ms. Rose.
2 truths and a lie. 1 truth is I grew up with pit bulls as the only kind of dog. Oh, I said truth. Okay, never mind. Ignore that. 3 things. 1, I can read a 500-page book in a solid day. 2, I had never had cereal until like 3 weeks ago. And 4 is that I am a champion surfer. There you go.
All right. So for those of you who stuck around to the end, thank you. Please reach out if you have a topic or intervention war story, or if you want that amazing prize. Now get out there and motivate some students to learn and grow. Thanks, Ms. Rope.
You're welcome.
Maybe we'll make something. Maybe we'll have a good loving too.